Good morning. We'll turn to the Bible, and we'll turn to a chapter that we made some reference to last time. I didn't quite get finished my subject on Tuesday. I'd like to do that today, as well as fitting in the last wee study of Gideon. So we're turning to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, and there in the verse 26, we have a reference to events that we have been looking at in the story of Gideon. Only here the Lord is speaking of the victory he is going to give his people over Sennacherib, the Assyrian king who had invaded the land and had made some very wicked, blasphemous, boastful claims as to what he was going to do. But the Lord tells us what he would do. Verse 26, "And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb." And we'll just finish the verse. "And as his rod," that is God's rod, "was upon the sea," that's a reference back to the days of the Exodus, "so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt." Now, what is important for you to notice here before I go any further, it just occurs to me, is how God always works as he has worked in the past. That's why the Bible is relevant, because God never changes. What God did in the past is how he is going to work in the future. Now, if God changed his tactics, if God didn't work in the future, as he has done in the past, you could take your Bible, fold it up, and set it away. It's no good. It doesn't tell you anything. If God is not the same, if he does not act the same, if he is not following the same purposes, the Bible's no good. But the Bible is ever relevant. It ever relates to today, because God hasn't changed. So he says, what I did way back in the days of Gideon, I'm going to do again in the days of Sennacherib. But I believe we have here a prophetic statement that deals with events that are even further in the future. I believe we have a reference here to the Antichrist. And what God did to Sennacherib is what God is going to do to the Antichrist. We're going to quickly read a few verses. I always want to get these in for you so that you hopefully can store them up in your youthful memory and meditate upon them the rest of your life. If you turn to verse 28, here is given in detail the journey of the Assyrian toward Jerusalem. And I believe that one day, if we're alive, when Antichrist is active, at the end of his term, when his days are coming to a close, he will take this exact same journey. Here is a path that leads from Armageddon. It's in the valley of Jezreel. And here's the path that Antichrist will follow when he has gathered his armies in the great valley of Jezreel and heads for Jerusalem, because that's his target. Now, just read from verse 28. "And he has come to Aiath. He has passed to Migron. At Michmash he hath laid up his carriages. They are gone over the passage. They have taken up their lodging at Geba. Ramah is afraid. Geba of Saul is fled. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmenan is removed. The inhabitants of Gibeon gather themselves to flee." You can gather the atmosphere of panic there is here in all these little villages as the army approaches, marching toward Jerusalem. Everybody's fleeing. We see it on the news with activities today in Syria and in Iraq, where there's war going on, and when the army's approaching, villagers run for their lives. And that's the atmosphere here. People are frightened at the approach of the army as they're marching toward Jerusalem. Verse 32, "As yet he remains at Nob, that day, if you're ever in Jerusalem, Jerusalem, of course, is spread out today. Modern Jerusalem is spread out much further than biblical Jerusalem, so that many of the hills that are around Jerusalem are now built upon. There's houses. And you know, when we visited Israel, I think it was 2009, we stayed in a hotel. And it was only after we were in the hotel for a while we realized that the hotel is built on this very hill. No. And from our hotel balcony, you could look across the city. There was the Temple Mount, and over there was the Mount of Olives and the Garden of Gethsemane. And you could see it so clearly. And it brought home to me just what is said here in the verse 32. And yet shall he remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. We could see it so clear as we did from the top of that hill. And Antichrist will shake his fist and say, I'm coming to destroy you. Behold, the Lord of hosts, shall lop the bow with terror. Just the way a man would cut off the top of a bush with a bullock. So God's going to cut this man down. He's going to cut him down. I want you to get that little picture in your head then of the approach of Antichrist toward Jerusalem. I sort of broke off last Tuesday in the middle of our study. We were looking at the fact that there was going to be a gathering of the armies of Antichrist in the very same place as the Midianites gathered their army. So here was another parallel, another little indication that what happened to Gideon and happened in his days was a foreshadowing of future times. We're drawing a picture here of the Savior, and we can see how in the days of Gideon, just as the enemy gathered in the valley of Jezreel and then was defeated by Gideon, so the Lord, when he comes, the armies of Antichrist will gather in Jezreel, and then they'll follow that route we've just been reading of there in Isaiah 10. They'll follow it as they march toward Jerusalem. And if you turn to Zechariah, and we will look at the end of Zechariah, looking at chapter 14, verse 1. Throughout the latter chapters of Zechariah, you will see the two little words, the day. And if you're reading your Bible, and if you have your own Bible that you use, it'll do no harm for you to put a little circle around the day every time you see it. And the day that is spoken of here is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord that begins with his return. So verse 1 says, Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Those are the 10 kingdoms of Antichrist that support them. And God says, I'm going to gather them, and I'm gathering them to Jerusalem to battle them. They think they're going there to do their will and their purpose, but behind it all is the sovereign will of God. God says, I'm gathering them. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. So Antichrist will have an apparent victory at the beginning, but not all over. Verse 3 says, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. You see, that's what I talk about, the Bible being relevant. As God has fought in the days of battle in the past, when he went out and fought for Israel, he's going to do the same again. So that whenever you read your Bible and God directing the fight against the enemies of Israel, just you think, that's what he's going to do again. Oh, people say God's dead. The God of the Old Testament doesn't exist. Don't you believe it? Here we have it. The Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. What did the angel say to the disciples who had just bidden farewell to the Savior as he ascended up to heaven, this same Jesus shall come in like manner. And here it is. He's coming. He's coming. And he's coming to establish his kingdom and to work miracles in the earth and manifest his glory before all men. Now turn back quickly to Judges. I hope to be able to finish it today. We're moving on to a new section in the will of the Lord. Now turn back. Judges, the chapter 8. The end of the story of Gideon. Chapter 8. The battle's over. Midianites have been destroyed. And in verse 28 of chapter 8 we read, "Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more." No more. They're not like the old dandelion. When you think you have it pulled up, lo and behold, a few days later, there it is coming back again. Yeah, well, this is not the same here. This is a victory that was total. They lifted up their head no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. That's a generation. That generation of people knew peace, the like of which they hadn't known before. What's going to happen in the earth when the Lord Jesus comes again? Boys and girls, there is going to be peace, the like of which this world has never known. You can read about it in the book of Revelation under chapter 20. Chapter 20 follows on from what we read in chapter 19, which of course records the coming again of Christ. It records the defeating of the Antichrist and his compatriot, the false prophet. And then we read in verse 20, and it begins with the word "and," the little joining word, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan." Look at all those names, just in case you were in any way puzzled as to who it was is spoken of. All these names are given so that you know exactly who he is. So the devil is laid hold of here, and he's bound for 1,000 years. And cast into the bottomless pit, and shut up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Peace on this earth. Peace, the like of which the world has never known. Never known. And the knowledge of God will fill the earth. There'll not be any who don't know about the Lord. And there will be a submissiveness to the Lord and an obeying of the Lord's word throughout the earth. Glory of the Lord shall fill the earth. Isaiah chapter 2 records in the early part of it these events as the story of Gideon ended with a victory and with quietness, peace in the country. That's how it's going to end here in this world. That's how it's all going to end, boys and girls. And if you're saved, you will have part of that glorious reign. Those who love the Lord, they're going to reign with him. They're going to exercise authority and power. They're going to be, as it were, his administrators in his kingdom. Oh, there's a lot of things we could say about the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus, but I just want to emphasize it's going to be a reign of peace, just as it was following the victory of Gideon over the Midianites. The peace, well, it only was settled in one tiny little part of the world, there in Israel, all those years ago. But the peace that the Lord Jesus will bring will fill the whole world. Fill the whole world. We have a picture there in the life of Gideon of that which is related to the Lord Jesus. May it help you to learn just what it is the Savior is going to do one day. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we come to Thee today in our Savior's name, and we're thankful for the hope that we have. Lord, the world has no hope. It may well hope, but Lord, it has no basis for its hopes. But we have God's Word as the foundation of our hope. And Lord, we bless Thee that the Bible reveals how things are going to end, and they're going to end well for the people of God. Be pleased, Lord, today to write these words upon the hearts of the boys and girls. Enable them to ponder and think upon the future. And may they ask themselves the question, am I ready? Am I living for that day? Oh, speak to every heart. We do commit this day to Thee. As the school goes out on its autumn walk, we thank Thee for the calm weather. And we trust, Lord, that the hearts of the children will be stirred to think upon the One who created this earth, who governs its seasons, and whose handiwork may clearly be seen all around us. Bless the children. May they have a happy time. Keep them safe. Bless the teachers. May it be for them too a blessed time. Hear our prayer. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.